I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. That Uppity Theater Company and The Vital Voice present Briefs, a festival of short LGBT plays. Please welcome from That Uppity Theater Company, Artistic Director Joan Lipkin, and Actress-Director Bonnie Taylor. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve.
So you did this last year, Joan. Something must have gone right.
Yeah, we had a really good time. That's what went right. And also we sold out every performance. It was kind of a bit of a cultural phenomenon. Bonnie was one of our directors. What would you say, Bonnie?
It was fantastic. I mean, it was sold out, and it was very much like a party. We had a bar. We had music. A lot of friends there.
It wasn't like a party. It was a party.
In
fact, it was so much of a party that Darren Sliman from The Vital Voice came up with a new line, which is come for the play, stay for the party for this year. And so this year we're actually going to be staying open an hour after each show. We're going to have a Q&A, a brief Q&A. The bar will be open. The DJ will be spinning. Good times will be happening.
So what this is I guess it's seven short plays. I think it's 90 minutes in its entirety. Joan, so last year you did this for the first time. What was your original idea for this? Where did this begin?
Where did the concept come from? Well, you know, actually, we have a piece that's touring now called The Big Fat LGBT Show of Shows.
And it has been for a while. Yeah.
It has. It's a couple of years old. We keep refreshing it and writing new material. It's sketch comedy, song and dance about the experiences of LGBT culture. And in fact, we just did it for the Diversity Awareness Partnership last week. And the interest and the success of that and the response to that made me think, you know, this short format really works well. And I also happen to personally love short formats. I like short stories. I like poetry. Maybe I have a short attention span.
Attention deficit, maybe a
well,
little.
Well, I am short. I don't know. There's a theme going on here. But it seemed to me actually also that this would be a way that we could showcase the work of multiple performers, directors, and writers. And then it would be a way that each of the pieces would also speak in relation to each other. And if you didn't respond to or particularly like one piece,
it's over.
You blink and it's over, right.
So was there a particular message or theme that you originally wanted to convey? I mean, it's all about LGBT themes in general, but...
Well, I think the diversity of the playwrights. Some are gay, some aren't gay, and the directors and the actors. And, of course, we had a diverse audience. Not everybody was gay.
Well, that's something I read in your press release. One of the points you made was about bringing together audience members that might not otherwise get together.
Right. Right. Well, one of the things that we find in the LGBT community is that often lesbians are in their own world and gay men in theirs, and there aren't a lot of activities, cultural activities, I should say, that bring them together to experience each other's cultures. And so this event does that, but it also points out both the specificity of people's experiences as well as the universality of certain things.
Some of the playwrights are from St. Louis. Some are not.
They are. In fact, you're looking at one of them.
Yeah.
One of the playwrights you're looking at.
That would be you.
It would be me, yeah.
So how do you choose these playwrights? And the ones that aren't from here, how did you pick up on them?
Right. Well, we actually kind of scour the countryside looking for stuff. We write to different people, different places. Sometimes we put things on a listserv. And then we have a reading committee, which I'm not on. And that consists of theater professionals, academics, and community activists who read the material, and they pick their top 15. And then they give those to me and Michael Perkins, who is associate producer. And we look to see not only what we like, but also what's doable. Because sometimes in a playwright's imagination, they have needs, technical needs that we can't manage, you know.
And are these new works for the most part?
They are. I mean, mine is brand new. But for example, it's some of the stuff is really challenging, but it's also great fun. Marty Stanberry, who people might know from as the artistic director of Hot City, is directing a piece about reparative therapy for gay penguins.
Okay, you need to explain that.
That's written partially in rap. It has, I think, it needs four cubes and six or eight actors. You know, it our imaginations are called forth to help fill in the picture. So that's one of the things that's also interesting is the variety of genres in the festival, because Marty's piece obviously is absurd. Then for the first time, we have a nonverbal piece that shows what you can do with physical text. And that is a love story that is created and performed by burlesque queen Lola Van Ella, who has quite a following both in St. Louis and nationally,
yes,
with Sammy the Tramp. And then my piece is, the narrative is a little more serious. It's about the real concerns that a lesbian faces when confronting a possible breast cancer diagnosis around healthcare. And, you know, her concerns about her fear of disclosure, even when it's medically needed. And the nurse, who is a woman of color, her response and the assumptions that they're both making about each other.
See, I don't know why I assumed this. I just thought they'd all be funny. Obviously, that one can't be, can it?
But no. Some are funny and dramatic at the same time.
Right. I think the best material always has all of those elements,
yeah.
Don't you, Bonnie?
Yeah.
Well, Bonnie is our PhD in the room, so what do you think, Bonnie?
Well, I'm really enjoying directing E.M. Lewis's play. I directed her play last year,
Waiting
Partners.
For Skell,
this year? It's Waiting for the Skell, and it's wonderful to have this continuity of character and situation, because I think some people will really enjoy coming back and seeing what's happened to these characters in the last 4 years. And I think the lack of awareness and insensitivity makes for the comedy, but there's some very serious issues that are explored as well.
What is the skill?
It's a felon, somebody who is a sort of a small-time criminal. So there are two characters that are waiting in an unmarked police car, and they're waiting for this guy to come out so they can arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
So the characters are police people.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman partner is considering having a child. And that sort of throws the relationship into confusion. But they take a journey, and they end up in a nice place.
Bonnie, that sounds like a lot for 10 minutes.
That's the miracle of a 10-minute play. Really, you sort of get to the crux of the matter pretty quickly.
Yeah, the really good ones contain entire universes, really. So it's not an easy form to do well, and there's a difference between doing a sketch mm-hmm. and writing a full play that exists within 10 minutes. So that's why we read a lot of stuff.
And there's a particular challenge, too, to do a new work, isn't there? It's one thing to do something you've seen before, people are familiar with. But if something hasn't been staged before, it's a little riskier.
Well, usually when we put stuff up, we haven't personally seen it. But mm-hmm. that's what the challenge and the excitement is for a director, is that they read a script and how do they connect with it? What do they imagine that world can look like? So we have some fantastic directors. As I said, we've got Marty Stanbury. We have Chris Limber, who many folks know from around town, and he works with the Shakespeare Festival. We have Leanne Matthews, Michael Perkins, Bonnie, Lola Van Ella. It's a pretty great collection of people. And we have, what, almost 20 actors?
Mm-hmm.
I should know these things.
You should.
So it is a great showcase for a lot of talent,
yeah.
A lot of local talent.
Yeah.
Bonnie, is the one, beside your own, what one kind of speaks to you? Is there one that jumps out that you're particularly fond of?
In these plays, uh-huh. these seven plays?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I haven't read the other plays.
Oh.
So I've just been focusing on my own play.
Well, that makes sense. Well, Joan, as was the case last year, the performance space is La Perla,
right.
Which is not a... it's not a theater venue, per se.
Right, right. Exactly. And that's by design, because the premise of the festival is somewhat unconventional and we were trying to make a different kind of experience, we wanted to go into a different kind of venue. La Perla is one of the oldest buildings, commercial buildings in Missouri.
It was a bank originally?
Mm-hmm. It was. So you can get a drink where you might have made a deposit with the teller. It's kind of cool.
Or you can go check out the bank vault downstairs.
You can.
Yeah.
It's really a beautiful space, and we're bringing in lights and staging, and I have to hand it to Leon. Leon Braxton, who's our other partner, he is the executive director of the LGBT Center of St. Louis, because he's helping to bring in a lot of the stuff. It's, you know, when you get there, it'll be the magic of theater. But there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And we're doing two things that are new this year also that I wanted to mention. We really want to reach out to LGBT and allied youth. So we're doing a pizza party for them Thursday night, as well as a very, very low ticket price of $5. And if anyone can't afford it, of course, they can come as our guest. And allied youth, because we want them to see this work and how it might speak to them. And maybe we have some future writers and directors and performers and tech people in that group. And then last year we had a very moving experience where we had a special brunch for the final performance for LGBT seniors from SAGE and Primetimers and OLOC. And we honored them, right? So we're kind of bookending the festival this year with the younger and the older.
I'm curious, you know, you say part of this is to bring in people that maybe are not familiar with the LGBT community.
Right.
So is that a challenge, marketing? And how do you get those people in who might, I don't know, think the plays aren't for them or they can't relate to it or whatever?
Well, we have a ton of Facebook friends, and they're not all gay. So that's one method.
I just think that we continually reach. I don't know if I want to evoke this metaphor. We reach across the aisle,
but figuratively, you mean?
Figuratively, we reach across the aisle. We want people to know that this work is for everyone, because I think that LGBT stories are human stories, and the theater is one of those places that we can all come together.
And Joan, you know, you've been doing things about, you know, gay lifestyle themed things for a long time. So is it interesting to you to see how society and politics have changed recently?
Yeah, it's not only interesting, it's thrilling. It's thrilling to me to see that people are beginning to understand what is the right and humane thing to do. Of course, being the impatient person that I am, nothing can happen fast enough. But, you know, in Missouri, we still have real challenges. You still can't get married legally. You often, in many, many places, you don't have protection. And we still see a higher rate of suicide ideation among LGBT youth than we do with their heterosexual counterparts. We see an enormous amount of bullying that goes on based on sexual orientation or gender expression, or just the perception of either of those things. So we have a lot of work to do, but it's very exciting to see how things have changed, because when I wrote with my dear friend Tom Clear, Some of My Best Friends Are, and we produced that in 1990, it was the first piece of LGBT theater that had ever been done in St. Louis for a mixed audience. And since then, we've seen the phenomena of more LGBT representation in the media. But the problem for us in terms of television is a lot of times gay characters are still sort of the laughingstock characters.
Well, mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about this series last year. And I haven't read the other plays yet, but they're everyday people and in everyday situations. And I think theater is a great medium for transforming people, because you feel and it's not an intellectual decision. It's not ideological. It's from your heart.
Uh-huh. Well,
that's how theater's good.
It's even changing on television, though.
It is.
Well, Ellen helped us. Ellen started it.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I understand, Joan, that when you did it last year, that you evidently inspired someone else to do a festival similar somewhere?
I know. It's so fantastic. Well, I gave a talk about it at an academic conference in D.C. last summer, the Association for Theater and Education. And there was a professor from Georgia State University, Frank Miller, who heard my talk. And then he wrote to me and he said, I want to try to do this on my own campus, and a conservative campus, and with students. So he's doing his own version. I think that's fantastic. And actually, we would love to see other colleges, universities, community centers, and theaters around the country pick up this idea, because it has so many wonderful possibilities in terms of exposing people to the work of a lot of different writers and issues, and also giving many people an opportunity to participate.
That Uppity Theater Company and the Vital Voice present Briefs, a festival of short LGBT plays. They'll be next Thursday and Friday at 8 p.m., next Saturday at 3 p.m. and at 8, and Sunday at 3 p.m. And just briefly go over again what the evening consists of, because you know, you're having a party afterwards.
Well, you kind of have a party from the moment you come in, because DJ Timmy will be spinning, and he has promised me Earth, Wind, and Fire. And Michael Jackson. And, you know, he's fantastic. So as soon as you come in, we have the DJ spinning. We've got a bar with Just John. People can meet people that they know or meet new people. We have an intermission so that there's more opportunity for people to connect. Then after the run of everything, which is a total of 7 pieces that none of which are more than 10 minutes, we'll have a short Q&A so people can ask questions of the cast. And then the bar will continue to be open, and we will party on.
If you'd like ticket information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to that Uppity Theater Company. I guess you can get tickets at the door if you want to.
Well, you can get tickets at the door, but we highly suggest that people get them in advance because there's a significant discount if they buy them online in advance, and also that way you will be guaranteed that you can get in. Last year we did sell out. But, you know, we encourage people to come if they're thinking about it and they want to come to the door, but we can't make any promises.
That's next Thursday through Sunday. It's Briefs, and it's at La Perla, which is on North 8th Street, downtown St. Louis.
Right.
I want to thank you, Joan Lipkin from that Uppity Theater Company, and Bonnie Taylor, who's directing Waiting for the Skull. And we thank you so
Steve.
Much for being here. We hope you have a great run again this year.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder. This is St. Louis Public Radio.